Welcome to the Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show, where we talk quality of healthcare and explore what that actually means. Let's dig into performance measurements, the Equip platform, pharmacy goals, and personal goals. We will also occasionally cover topical healthcare news and maybe throw into the conversation a few of our own nerdy passions and hobbies. So turn us up. The Quality Corner Show starts now.
Hello, Quality Corner Show listeners. This is your host, Nick Dorich, and we welcome you to episode 50 of the Quality Corner Show. Today, we are concluding our month-long series on American Pharmacist Month. As we conclude, we're going to finish by focusing on the most important topic for pharmacy, and that's the future. These episodes through October have explored the great things pharmacists can do, how we can be successful with pharmacist provider status, how pharmacy technicians are a necessary part of the team, and how pharmacists can play a variety of roles in healthcare. But today is episode 50, and we're going to speak with a leader from an organization that recently celebrated its 50th anniversary. That organization would be the American Pharmacist Association Academy of Student Pharmacists, or APHA ASP, which turned 50 years old in 2019. So with this episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with one of the current leaders for APHA ASP. Please allow me to introduce Juan Rodriguez from the University of Tennessee Health Science Center, College of Pharmacy. Juan, welcome to the Quality Corner Show.
Thank you so much, Nick, and for allowing me the opportunity to interact with everyone and the listeners of the Quality Corner Show. Again, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited, Juan. For me, this is a great opportunity. Hopefully, you can help get this message and our show resonated with student pharmacists, but I'm also really excited that you get the opportunity to share your passion and excitement that students have with our pharmacist audience. So a lot that we have to gain here. Our audience is going to be in for a real treat with your perspective and what you're going to share with them. But before we start, Juan, let's hear about your background and experience in pharmacy and your current role with APHA ASP.
Yeah, sure thing. So let's see. I come from a Mexican immigrant background. I grew up in central Mississippi. I went on to attend Mississippi State University for my undergraduate career, and where I had the opportunity to meet a lifelong friend and mentor who actually was a person that introduced me into the world of pharmacy. Now, this friend of mine, her name is now Dr. Catherine Fang. She actually graduated a couple of years ahead of me. Now, moving into my senior year of college, by that point, she was already about to enter her third year at the UNC Eshelman School of Pharmacy. And I remember at that point, even though I was majoring in a life science and my plan was to go into healthcare, I still didn't really know what I wanted to pursue. And there was one evening where we were just kind of catching up, you know, just like friend stuff. And what was supposed to be a 30-minute call of just like talking about random things turned into a three-hour phone call. I know we kind of started talking about her current role or her current process that she was in. Her school at that time was preparing the students to rank their rotations for their final year of pharmacy school. And she was just telling me about the things that she enjoyed, the things that she kind of saw herself doing in the future. And from that conversation, I just started asking her about different career paths in pharmacy and some of the things that she liked and some of the things that she didn't like. Long story short, by the end of that conversation, that three-hour convo, I ended up deciding that I wanted to pursue a career in pharmacy. And literally almost an exact year after that, I found myself sitting for orientation at the University of Tennessee College of Pharmacy. And it has absolutely been an amazing ride since then. Since that time, I've kind of had the opportunity to delve deeper into the world of pharmacy through my internship at the Methodist University Hospital Outpatient Transplant Pharmacy. And I've had the opportunity to become more involved within our profession, being able to serve APHA ASP as a current national president-elect. Never, even a year ago, never did I imagine that I would be sitting in this role. It has been an absolutely wild and amazing ride. And I couldn't be happier to be able to represent the interests of student pharmacists across the country.
Thanks, Juan, for that introduction. With that, we're going to move into our questions for the show. And you already spoke about your excitement and something that you hadn't expected you'd be doing. As I understand it, this is going to be your first podcast recording. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today. And just like your pharmacy experience, something that's new and exciting, we're going to go for the same thing with your first podcast experience today. So with our questions, we're going to jump in here and it's going to be our first topic. Pharmacy, it's a big world in pharmacy, like much of healthcare, is going through a very dynamic time. From your perspective as a student pharmacist or from those you've engaged with as a member of APHA-ASP, this year has been very difficult and very different. From the student perspective and how you've been impacted by COVID, how has that been going? How have students managed that experience and how it's been different for your learning experience?
That's a great question, Nick. I think that there was no student pharmacist out there that was completely prepared to handle anything like COVID had happened. I know that it caught everyone by surprise. I would be really hard pressed if there was somebody out there that was able to automatically transition into the virtual format that we're all experiencing right now. For rotation students, I definitely know it was a challenge. Students were, you know, they were a little scared whether they would be able to finish off the rotations like it was, you know, supposed to be planned and be able to graduate on time. But the colleges and School of Pharmacies, they absolutely did an amazing job of being able to adapt to the situation and make sure that these final year student pharmacists were able to get the experiences required to be able to graduate and to become successful pharmacists. For didactic students, I know that it was also a very hard process. I myself, when COVID started, was finishing up my second year of pharmacy school. And I will say that it was a very hard transitioning to fully virtual learning. At that point in time, I was still, you know, trying to figure out how to stay awake for lectures that were happening all day. Student pharmacists were trying to figure out how they could be locked up at home basically for an entire day and still be productive. It was a hard experience. Outside of the academic setting, I know student pharmacists were very well prepared to be able to go all these conferences that normally happen in the spring. APHA annual was canceled for the first time since World War II, which, you know, it's pretty unprecedented. Outside of that, you know, it was a very hard period for student pharmacists. But one of the amazing things that I've kind of been able to discover as the semester has progressed and I've had the opportunity to interact, even if it's in a virtual format, with students across the country through the virtual chapter visits that APHA ASP conducts, is that student pharmacists have now, like, they have truly adapted, they have come together, they are thriving, and they are innovating ways to not only continue the mission of our academy, but to continue the mission of our profession in impacting the communities that we serve and being able to develop themselves as professionals and as the healthcare providers that we are for our communities.
Juan, thanks for providing that additional perspective. For me, when it comes to the APHA annual meeting, the student experience, the conferences usually gain so much, whether it be friendships, new ideas, and how that can be communicated, how that can be shared. When at the Quality Corner Show, we often talk about quality improvement and the importance of sharing new messages and new ideas. So from the perspective of yourself and other students, whether it be your didactic learning, whether it be rotations, or whether it's with APHA patient care projects, or maybe it's House of Delegates, other items, what have been some of the innovative ways or approaches that students have taken so that they're not losing those communications or unique meetings that you would typically get to attend in the course of a year?
Yeah, of course. I think one of the most innovative ways that I've seen kind of student pharmacists adapt to, you know, our current environment is, one, just how to make a virtual meeting interesting to begin with. I know that it's very hard to convince people once they've already gone through their all required meetings to say, hey, why don't you log on for another hour of Zoom session of you sitting down in your seat and listening. Student pharmacists have really adapted to that. They really innovative, creative solutions in terms of how they can continue to engage their fellow student pharmacists along the way. I know some of the things that I've kind of discovered as I've, you know, been able to interact with student pharmacists is even for the patient care projects, student pharmacists have resorted to creating videos, creating QR codes, posting those QR codes in different parts of their communities, making sure that they're still accessible to the same patients that they were, you know, providing outreach to in the past. So I think student pharmacists have really gone a long way to adapt to the current process or to the current pandemic that we're facing. I will say that, you know, nothing can replace the personal interactions that we get from being face-to-face and being able to develop those relationships that we would have developed in meetings such as APHA annual. But nonetheless, student pharmacists have been resilient. They continue to be resilient. They continue to be innovative in being able to accomplish the things that we usually do.
It's a great message, Juan. I think the key points really focus on that perseverance and the innovation, two things that very much are usually true when it comes to youth and to the students, but we want to make sure we maintain those parts as whether it's for you and your other fellow students when you become practitioners, but also for folks like me that have been in the practice of pharmacy for a while. Good for us to be reminded. I'm going to transition us to our second question. And the first, we already tackled the obvious and the immediate question about COVID, but that was done so that we could get that perspective and then start talking about future of pharmacy practice. So Juan, I know you have a lot of passion about the future of pharmacy and that you're hopefully the living embodiment of that. But let's talk more about this passion that drives student pharmacists. It might be about certain patient care services. It could be about pharmacy becoming a larger part of the healthcare team, becoming more integrated as a healthcare team. So what do you see that drives the excitement for student pharmacists and how they look to shape the profession of pharmacy going forward?
So Nick, as you might remember from your pharmacy education career, one of the first things that we as students get taught when we enter pharmacy school is the patient care process wheel. And as the name might denote, with patient-centered care right in the middle of it. Now, I think that over the years, the focus of what our profession advocates for may change, but the reason for that advocacy has continued to be the same, which is the well-being of our patients and our communities. Now, this is the same excitement that pushes student pharmacists forward. We all know that when pharmacists are integrated into the healthcare team, that they make care better for the patient. And we ask ourselves the question, why is there not a pharmacist at every healthcare provider office? Well, the simple question to that is, well, without even any avenue for a fair compensation for pharmacy services, it just doesn't practically make a business sound decision to be able to incorporate this extra person or this extra salary into a payroll. Now, we as student pharmacists, we advocate for that change, being able to achieve something like provider status, being able to be fairly compensated, because this is a thing that would put pharmacists in provider offices, put pharmacists in different settings where they're able to improve that patient care. Furthermore, you know, like many people within our profession right now are well aware of what's going on with Rutledge v. PCMA, student pharmacists are also just as interested in pushing for transparency and for regulation over these PBM corporations that exert such a large influence over the ability for pharmacists to be able to provide sustainable care to our patients. Now, as I kind of mentioned previously, I am nothing short but impressed by the resiliency and the innovation that student pharmacists have demonstrated throughout this pandemic. Something that I would kind of love to highlight right now is earlier this semester, UNC student pharmacists were able to hold a virtual legislators day where they were still able to interact with their local legislators, pushing for things like PBM regulation, pushing for things like provider status, and still being able to continue their message and being able to advocate for our profession. Now, that's just one instance, but I have been able to see student pharmacists do similar things across the country just like this. And I think that's what really excites me the most about the future of our profession is the fact that these individuals are being so resilient right now, who are really taking the time to make sure that we're continuing to advocate for our profession and who go above and beyond to kind of expand the process on how we are able to do that. I know that, you know, pharmacy is currently transitioning through a time where it gets a little tough, but student pharmacists who are the future of our profession will make a difference. And these are the people that I'm confident in will create effective change and continue the work that our profession has done over the years.
Thanks for that response, Juan. Something I'm interested in, when I was going through pharmacy school again, 10 plus years ago, roughly, most of what we were doing for pharmacy learning was still within that College of Pharmacy silo. Are students now seeing more intercollaborative learning, be it either in their didactic learning courses or on rotations, even thinking a little bit, you're still a student, but thinking a little bit ahead, maybe there's residency or that first pharmacy job career. Is there more of an expectation now that pharmacists are working intercollaboratively? And does that lend itself to any kind of expansion for career focus that new pharmacists may have compared to folks that graduated years ago?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can't speak for the experience that, past pharmacists were able to experience throughout their education. But just from personal experience, I know that, for example, my college, every semester, we always have two or three interprofessional learning events, whether that be with medical students, nursing students, PT students. Colleges and schools of pharmacy are understanding the fact that pharmacists are part of the patient care process, of the part of the patient care team, and they're doing all they can to train students to be able to accomplish that. Outside of that, I know even in my internship, part of my responsibilities include being in the emergency room. And even within the emergency room, I have like the amazing ability to interact with nurses and physicians. And sometimes every once in a while, they'll ask me a question and they're like, hey, I know you're only a student, but I was just wondering if you have the answer to this. And I will say that early on, most of the time I would be like, I do not know the answer, but let me tell you or guide you to the pharmacist who does. But I do find myself now sometimes being able to be more confident in my abilities and my knowledge and being able to provide those responses. So I know that for sure right now, pharmacy is trending toward being a team along with other healthcare professionals and providers. And I think that that's really exciting. And other providers realize the benefit of having a pharmacist on a team. But like I said, at the end of the day, healthcare is a business. And how do we make it viable? We make it viable by making sure that our services are being fairly compensated for. And once we're able to have an avenue for that, I know that there's going to be so many roles that are going to be opening up for pharmacists.
I love how you broke that up, Juan, because you're right. When I was going through pharmacy school, that idea of being a student at that level, being involved with those conversations and discussions, didn't really have the chance to do those things and have those conversations. And that's important because it builds confidence in your knowledge base and how, not just the knowledge base, but how you communicate it. So it's great to hear that yourself and your fellow students are already getting that experience, because a more able knowledge base and ability to communicate the value of the pharmacist really helps drive the value of pharmacy. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for sharing. We're going to move to our third question. And APHA ASP has a number of patient care projects which focus on different disease states or areas in which student pharmacists can contribute to education and in some cases even provide patient care under guidance of a pharmacist. Had to make sure I added in that other part. What are some of the biggest successes of these patient care projects in recent years? And I'm going to make this actually a two-part question. And the second part of it is, how are students adapting and innovating to some of these patient care projects in a pandemic? If you have any examples you can share, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, sure thing. And thank you for that question, Nick. Student pharmacists have really done some amazing things in the past and continue to do so. Just for example, the APHA ASP Operation Immunization, whose mission is to kind of increase awareness regarding the importance of vaccinations, has had an outreach of over 2.5 million people over the last couple of years and have been actively involved in vaccinating 115,000 patients from across the country, all of this being done by student pharmacists. Operation Diabetes also has had an outreach of over 1 million patients, with nearly 50,000 patients receiving health and wellness services by student pharmacists. Other projects by APHASP, including Operation Heart, Substance Use Disorder, OTC Medicine, the Women's Health Campaign, all of these projects, we could talk about it for days, the impact that they've had. And these are all services provided by student pharmacists for their communities. Student pharmacists do have an impact. They have roles within patient care. And I think it's really exciting, the work that the Academy has done over the past couple of years. Kind of to address your second part of the question, students have done an absolutely amazing job adapting. Kind of like I said previously, over the last couple of weeks where I've had the opportunity to interact with student pharmacists and kind of been able to you know, discover a little more how they're, you know, adapting their plans to our current environment. I know, for example, all the flu clinics that have been happening, students and schools and colleges have done an absolutely amazing job of adapting to their community, state, and federal guidelines and making sure that, you know, everyone is being safe and that there's the lowest possible risk for transmission of COVID. And a little bit ago, I also mentioned there's some chapters that have, you know, filmed videos and created QR codes that they're putting in coffee shops and, you know, pharmacies and stores to be able to have that same outreach with their patients and continue to innovate different ways to be able to, if not have an inpatient or in-person or face-to-face interaction, where they're still able to provide the services that they've always done to the communities that they serve. Student pharmacists are resilient, like I said, and it's really exciting the way that they've kind of gone about this and the way that they kind of continue to do so.
Juan, I'm going to have my response for you be something different than how I would typically approach that information. So the patient care projects and the student activity, these are all student-led events. You guys are being hands-on, education promotion, et cetera. But there's always an opportunity to collaborate with local partners, be it pharmacies, employers, other groups that are out there. So this may be a two-part, or this question may have you thinking in two different ways. How would other pharmacists who are listening to the show and they hear these great things, if they wanted to try to work with their local APHA ASP chapter, what's the best way for them to reach out? Or, you know, and then conversely, if you're a student listening to this podcast and you're trying to think of some innovative ways that you can look at patient care projects and do an outreach that's non-traditional, what would you recommend? So recommendations on one, how partners, community partners, including pharmacists, can contact their local chapter, and then chapters that are trying to figure out how to get started, where do they go?
Sure thing. So I feel like kind of the easiest way, if there's a community partner out there that would like to be collaboratively involved with their local APHA ASP chapter, you know, while they might not have that direct contact information for that student leader, it's really just as easy as reaching out to the college administration and shooting that email and being like, hey, I would love to be able to get help from student pharmacists and doing something like this. And usually, like, from my experience, these college administrators or school administrators are excellent about pushing this information, pushing that information out to the student organizations or APHA ASP, and saying that there's a community partners that would like to partner up with some of the students to do some work. Now, in terms of students reaching out to, you know, to community partners themselves, I know right now, being the time that we are right now, like in the past, usually would have been, the conversation would have probably gone something like, hey, I have student pharmacists that would be interested in doing a blood pressure screening at your pharmacy. Would that be okay? Honestly, like, you know, right now it is looking a little different. It is looking a little tough. Different partnerships that used to exist in the past, like there is that strain. Something that I have been telling student pharmacists, right now it might be best to formulate the question of, you know, how can I help you? What are things that I can do for you? And what are things that you may want a little extra help in that you believe that we as students may be able to help with? I think that's a good approach. You know, not everyone is going to have a direct answer right off the bat. Not everyone may need that help from student pharmacists at the moment, but that does set up the relationship where that pharmacist or that community partner knows that those students are there and they're willing to help at any point in time.
Thanks, Juan. You're absolutely right. The communication and relationship building, it's not a one-step transaction and it's not just a be-all, end-all. It is a continuous path, and it's important that we may not be able to engage in those relationships that we want to with our community partners or our patients right here, right now because of the situation, but we can still do a lot of work to build those relationships. It's great perspective, and I really appreciate you being on the show here today. We're going to go ahead and proceed to our closing of the podcast, and something that our listeners know pretty well. We end with a fun question after our main context. But I do want to highlight a couple points here. This is important, or it's an important podcast for us to finish with on the series for American Pharmacist Month. Every pharmacist has been there before. We've gone through the trials and tribulations of pharmacy school. And I think every pharmacist I've ever spoken with has said that they had it as rough as anybody else did. But for our student pharmacists right now, that are dealing with school during the COVID pandemic, it becomes particularly unique. It's easy for us to remember how tough it was at times, but it's even more important for us to remember the reasons why we started down this path of being a pharmacist. There is a lot of excitement. We're doing it to help improve patient care. We're doing it because we want to help people. And it's been very exciting for me personally, Juan, to hear from you and to be reinvigorated with that. So our future is bright, and it's bright because of people like you. It's bright because of the people that are involved with APHA ASP currently. When we do finish this episode, we're going to explore our last topic. And I know that, Juan, you already shared your thoughts on someone that got you particularly interested in pharmacy. I still know the person that got me into pharmacy, Bill Ballou. He was a long-term care pharmacist in Rhode Island, got me excited to be a pharmacist. For all of us as pharmacists, we have our pharmacist heroes or the things that we really thank, people who inspire you. So for you, that's how I want to end. Let's end on the high note, the highest note that we can. Who's that pharmacist? Who's that person that inspires you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, I know I was kind of able to bring up Dr. Catherine Fang a little bit ago, and that she was one of the persons that initially had me interested in pursuing a career in pharmacy. But another person that I haven't had the opportunity to mention, he was a personal mentor of mine and a pharmacist that I believe embodies all the qualities of a pharmacist being able to give back to his community. And his name is Mr. Ronnie Sullivan. Mr. Sullivan, or Mr. Ronnie, as we all know him in my hometown, was a pharmacist that was part of the community that I grew up in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. Kind of through some of his efforts, along with some of the local healthcare providers in my community, they were able to open up a free clinic for low-income patients. I know several people who were part of this clinic. And over the years, Mr. Sullivan and his independent pharmacy that he locally owned, they donated all the medication that was given to these patients from Kosciuszko. And this has gone on for years. And there are so many people, dozens and dozens of people, that without the effort of a pharmacist like him advocating for patients who need these medicines would not have been able to receive the care that they need. Unfortunately, Mr. Sullivan, he passed away a couple of months. And I hate to, you know, end at a somber note like that, but I would love to bring up the fact that, you know, he was a person who embodied everything that is right about our profession. I have never seen so many people attend a funeral, so many people who were willing to talk about the impact that he had on their lives and the work that he did as a pharmacist for his community. You know, I don't know if this is even allowed, but in a way, I would almost like to dedicate this podcast or this interview to him, because he was an absolutely amazing person. And I know everyone that knows him and remembers him, they continue to know the work that he did. And his independent pharmacy that he started, it continues. It has survived, and they continue to provide that same medicine that's always been needed to those patients that need it, to that clinic that provides those services. So Mr. Ronnie Sullivan, an absolutely amazing person, a personal pharmacy hero of mine. And I know that he will always continue to inspire me as I develop my own career in pharmacy.
Juan, that was an incredibly powerful, meaningful, and moving statement. And we haven't had a dedication on a podcast or from a podcast guest before. So this is going to be another innovation by student pharmacist, and a decree that this will be the first official dedication of a Quality Corner show. But thank you very much for sharing, you know, that story and the impact that Mr. Ronnie Sullivan's had on your life and now going forward as your career. The stories like that, we all have those pharmacists who have been there and have gotten us on that path. And it's one of the gifts that keeps giving about pharmacy, right? It's good people helping people. And that's the core of pharmacy more than any other profession that I've seen. So thank you for sharing that story. And thank you for being the next generation of that story as well. I would remind you, it's you're not across that bridge of, you know, being hooded and getting your PharmD yet. But when you do, it'll be up to you to be that person for somebody else. So my challenge to you as we close today. Juan, as we get to the end of the conversation, I don't want to leave our listeners hanging. So if somebody wants to contact you, learn more about APHA or learn more about APHA ASP, how they can get involved, how can they be active, et cetera, how would they contact you or how would they get involved?
Sure. So they can reach out to me at my email. My email is jrodri2020 utHSC.edu. And for anyone wanting to shoot me a call, shoot me a text, my phone number is 662-582-1294. Now, for anyone that is brave enough to try to search the name Juan Rodriguez on Facebook or Instagram, that's probably the most common Latino name that you will find out there. But if you're able to find me, obviously add me as a friend, shoot me a DM. I am available to interact with any student pharmacist, any pharmacist that wants to any time of the day. If they would like just kind of like more general information or just kind of a resource that they'd be able to find on their own time, they can also access pharmacist.com/APHA-ASP and they will find all the information they need also on the website.
Thank you, Juan. Appreciate you sharing that information. And I hope there are some folks that go on the scavenger hunt to try to find you on Instagram that's there or any of the other social media platforms that may be there. But Juan, again, thank you very much. You've been a fantastic guest, have provided us with some great context about student pharmacists, what they're doing here and now, and what that looks like going forward. Pharmacy is always going to be changing, and the education for pharmacists is always going to be changing, updated. So it becomes important that we're integrating the new learnings and what you're bringing to the profession. So again, from myself and the PQS team, thank you very much for being on the show today and for the continued efforts of APHA-ASP. As for our listeners of the Quality Corner Show, I hope you've appreciated this episode and our entire series celebrating the 2020 American Pharmacist Month. This was our first take at a series of episodes focusing on one subject matter. Speaking on behalf of myself as the host of the Quality Corner Show, this was a great series to explore, and we covered some amazing detail about the excellence of pharmacists in just a few short weeks. In the future, we'll be providing more series, and I'm looking forward to that. This will include exploration for quality improvement with disease states, pharmacy practice, and many other topics. So I hope you'll join us as we look to improve the content of our own show here at PQS. If you would like to hear any specific topics in the future, please contact us at info@pharmacyquality.com, or you can find us on Twitter or LinkedIn at Pharmacy Quality. That should be relatively easy compared to trying to find this one, Rodriguez, on Instagram or Twitter. But while we continue to look forward to starting our next series, we do have a couple of special episodes that will put an exclamation point on season one of the Quality Corner Show. With that, I again appreciate you listening to the Quality Corner Show, and there is one final message from the PQS team. Our team here at PQS has a couple of favors to ask of you, our podcast listener. First, we encourage you to share this podcast with two friends, because if you share this with two friends and each of them shares it with two friends, it really helps us hit a larger listening audience. Second, we also want to take a moment to remind you to subscribe to the podcast wherever you may find it. And then, if you have any questions or topics you would like us to address, please contact us. The best way to do so is to email info@pharmacyquality.com. Let us know what is on your mind and what we can address so that you are fully informed. Our goal is to continuously improve our podcast content and to provide meaningful information to our listeners based on current topics in healthcare, technology, and quality measurement. We want to help you become as effective as possible in how you care for patients and improve public health outcomes. So, until next time, we wish you well.